While we've been focused on Afghanistan, some very interesting, curious and important things have been happening in Pakistan. And Pakistan also not in the regions that we usually focus on, and not in any region particularly bordering India. This is, if you see the map of Pakistan, this is the northwest and northwest of Pakistan. So north, northwest, that mostly borders Afghanistan on one side, and then there is a Chinese Tibet on the other that goes through Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. Now, it is these regions that have been hit by terrorists of various kinds, and various groups have been holding sway there. Remember, the entire region from up north right down, up north right from the Pamirs right down to say the coast of Balochistan, borders almost more than two-thirds of the way Afghanistan, and the rest then Iran, but that is more in the Baloch territory. So look at this map carefully. Now, as you see this map, also see two particular regions that we are circling. One is a region called Kohistan. Now, Kohistan used to be one district. Now, it's two districts, Upper Kohistan, Lower Kohistan, in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, KPK. Similarly, within KPK, you look northwest, corner of northwest, and you see this Pakistani territory jutting into Afghanistan like this, almost like a triangular, I don't want to use the word dagger. It's also a bit wide physically. That is the Parachinar region. Once again, Parachinar region has been in news a great deal because Parachinar is the home of sectarian strife, because a bunch of people there are actually Pakhtun Shias, and they've routinely been under attack. Now, in Kohistan, as in other parts of this region, various groups are active. In Balochistan, as we know, Baloch Liberation Army and others are active. Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan is very active in KPK, although they've been pushed back, but they keep regrouping and coming back. Now, today, a situation is developing in Afghanistan that's causing a little chaos. Because of that chaos and because of the distraction, looks like these groups are taking advantage of the situation. So two things have happened in the past 3 or 4 days. So Tuesday, first of all, there was an incident where a unit of Pakistan Army, actually a unit called Thal Scouts, which is a kind of paramilitary made for the region, but officered by those taken on deputation from the army. They were going out to carry out a raid based on intelligence information. So while they were on their way, they were ambushed on the way. 15 of them were killed. It was a massacre. 15 of them were killed, including the officer leading them, that is Captain Abdul Basit. You can see the picture. In fact, if you see Pakistani social media, there is a lot of chatter about him, what a nice guy he was, and a lot of people obviously are feeling sorry. So you can say that that was a significant incident. Now, that was still being talked about, and that was immediately blamed on Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan, TTP, because this is in the Khurram Agency area. Khurram Agency is where the biggest city or the most important center is Parachinar. When you say city in those areas, they are not big cities. Parachinar is just about 75,000-80,000 people, but it is the biggest in that region. So there is background of sectarian strife. TTP is very active. You see routinely incidents of Shias being attacked. There was a time actually when things were much worse, and Pakistan's army chief had paid a visit there to reassure the people of Parachinar. But these operations go on. So obviously this army group was waylaid, they were ambushed, and they were wiped out. Now again, if I read Pakistani media, it seems to me that some soldiers have been kidnapped as well. Captain Abdul Basit was on deputation from Baloch Regiment. He's from 28 Baloch Regiment of Pakistani Army. Now that was one incident, bad, probably the worst involving the Pakistani Army. Although since June, that is in less than 6 weeks, 22 Pakistani soldiers have been killed in militant terrorist attacks in this region. In this region, when I say north and the west, the other border of Pakistan, which reminds us of something that I will bring to you in just a couple of minutes. Now, not far from there, in the same province, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, but you know, in mountainous areas, distances are defined differently. So as a bird flies, doesn't matter, because you know that is not the way you travel in the mountains. So in the same region, in the same province, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa is the large district of Kohistan. Koh, I think in Persian, means the mountain. So basically land of the mountains. Kohistan is a well-known old place which is featured in the chronicles of many adventurers, many travelers. It is very thinly populated. If you look at all of Kohistan, it's about 4,500 square kilometers with just about 7 lakh people, 6 or 7 lakh people, although the last census numbers we have are for say 1996, which is about little less than 5 lakhs, but I'm just extrapolating on that and I'm presuming that it's about 7 lakhs or 8 lakh people. The important thing is, it's through Kohistan that the Indus River comes in. Indus River flows down. And you know what? The Pakistanis are building a lot of hydroelectric projects in that region. They are building a lot of hydroelectric projects, both in the northern areas, as they call them, Gilgit-Baltistan, which we see as a part of our country, and also other parts of POK, and also in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. Why? Because fast-flowing streams are available. These are perennial streams. Water is available through the year. And also because there are drops available, because that's what generates power. So this is in Upper Kohistan district. Its capital city or its district headquarters is a place called Dasu. In Dasu, a dam is being built. It's a sizable dam. It's a 4,300 megawatt dam in the first stage. It will go up. It's the second biggest power project, hydropower project, being built in Pakistan right now. And as you would expect, the contract for building this has been given to a Chinese company. Now, that Chinese company has been sending its personnel to work on the dam. Those personnel, with some Pakistanis, were traveling in a bus to Dasu. Something happened to that bus on the way. Now, it's widely believed that this was a bomb attack. The bus was bombed. It was a terror attack. So 13 people died at least. 9 of them were Chinese engineers. Now that's a big deal. 9 Chinese engineers. Now Pakistan has a history of foreign engineers, workers being attacked. There was a time several years ago, I think 2007, when 11 French engineers were killed by gunmen. That happened immediately after the Lal Masjid siege in Islamabad. This was still Musharraf's time. But this now, 9 Chinese engineers being killed, is a big deal. And it's such a big deal that everybody seems to be confused and everybody is trying to put their own spin on it. So Pakistan government so far is saying that, look, what happened is that the bus had a mechanical failure. Because of the mechanical failure, the bus rolled down a ravine. And as it was rolling down, its gas tank burst and that caused an explosion. But if you see any pictures of the bus, it does not sound like a gas tank explosion. In fact, when I see this statement by Pakistan government, it sounds a bit like the kind of FIR that my old friends in Punjab police or UP police would have written creatively and retrospectively after some encounter or something that might have gone wrong. So this is not a convincing explanation. The Pakistan statement, of course, goes on to say that they give great importance to the safety, security of Chinese nationals, projects and institutions in Pakistan, and they are looking into what exactly happened. But the Chinese, on the other hand, have been very, very forthright. The Chinese Zhao Lijian, the Chinese spokesperson, who we know very well, he has said clearly that this is a bombing. Global Times, the mouthpiece of the Chinese Communist Party, Global Times has said, although Pak officials have not yet determined the nature of the incident, it is clearly an act of terrorism that is both clearly planned and supported by information. Now, this goes quite much further than anything that the Pakistanis are saying. Pakistanis at this point are not admitting that this was a terror attack. So, what do I have for you? What I have for you is a bunch of different statements that well-known Pakistani journalist Hassan Zaidi, and I will share his tweet with you. He has tweeted, he's just listed these 4 statements. He's listed statements, contradictory statements by several key people that indicate to you that somebody is twisting in the wind in Pakistan? So there is this special advisor to Prime Minister, he's Babar Awan. He says it's a cowardly attack, terror attack. Pakistan Foreign Office, as we told you just now, says it's a mechanical failure, gas leaked and that caused a blast. Somebody will believe them. Then the Chinese Foreign Ministry has clearly called it a bombing. And the Chinese embassy also in Pakistan has issued a statement. So they've called it a bombing. Where a special advisor to Chief Minister of Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, Kamran Khan Bangash, he has said media is advised to avoid speculating in the matter. So it's obviously that people are not talking amongst each other and there is confusion. At the same time, nobody is now quite denying that this incident took place, and that has caused a big problem because, you know, this is a big dam. Kohistan is a 7,500 square kilometer area, very thinly populated, maybe 7 or 8 lakh people, but it's important. One, it's important geographically, sort of in terms of tourist importance, in terms of exotic location, but also strategically. Because the Indus River flows through it, and Indus River flows through it at very sharp gradients. What that does is that makes the river very amenable to hydroelectric projects there. And that is why the Chinese are working on this dam called the Dasu Dam, which is a 4,300 megawatt dam for which even the World Bank has given $700 billion. Credit Suisse has given a loan. Pakistan government has invested. BAPDA, which is Pakistan's central federal authority controlling water and power, called Water and Power Development Authority of Pakistan, they hold equity in this, and the contract for all civil works has been given to China Gezhouba Corporation Company Limited. I presume these engineers were from that company. Now, Pakistan actually has allocated quite a bit of resources to protecting Chinese manpower because it is in this region, north Western and northwestern Pakistan, through which CPEC is coming in, China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. It begins at Kashgar in Xinjiang, which is a sensitive province of China, goes right down to the Arabian Sea at Gwadar, ends up in this big port and a big airport, which is now being promised to become the largest airport in the subcontinent. I don't know whether that happens or not, but the Chinese do things on scale. And what the Chinese want to use it for, we will get to know in the course of time. So this 1300 kilometer highway, which is the jugular of CPEC, there are a lot of things, a lot of chota arteries and veins will go alongside it and capillaries. This, if you see it carefully on the map, this comes through a part of Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. That's why India has some objections. And then it gets into KPK, and then it comes through the skirting the frontier areas and also mostly skirting Balochistan, not going deep inside Balochistan. That is to keep it safe. Now, along this, a lot of industry, a lot of other projects are coming up. Mining projects are expected to come up in Balochistan. And along this, or generally in its vicinity, are these power projects that are coming up. So these attacks are generally seen as targeting CPEC and the Chinese involved in CPEC, because there is a history in Pakistan now of attacks on Chinese workers there. I will briefly tell you a few incidents. But you know, if you look at this larger region in 2013, it was generally in this region that in Nanga Parbat, which is the second highest peak on the Himalayas in Pakistani control, at Nanga Parbat, 13 climbers had been killed by gunmen when they were on their climb. So this is a tricky region. So I see lots of statements by Chinese think tanks. I don't see much by Pakistanis, but lots of statements by Chinese think tanks where experts are now calling it a terror attack. So there is Wang Shida, who's deputy director of South Asia at Institute of Contemporary International Relations Academy, who says that these attacks have been increasing in the past 2 years on Chinese workers. Now, we know about many such attacks. For example, May 2017, two Chinese workers had been kidnapped by Baloch insurgents who were dressed in police uniforms. They were kidnapped and they were later executed. November 2018, the Chinese consulate in Karachi was attacked. The attack failed. a couple of policemen died, a civilian died, a terrorist died, but Chinese consulate getting attacked was a big thing, and Baluch Liberation Army claimed responsibility for it. Even going further back, May 3, 2004, a car bomb killed three engineers in Gwadar. Again, Gwadar is the mouth of CPEC. A suicide bomber, as I told you earlier, killed 11 French engineers in 2002 in Karachi. Then, on June 29, 2020, Karachi Stock Exchange was attacked again by Baluch insurgents. And the reason they said they attacked it was that Chinese government or Chinese organizations, institutions own 40% in the stock exchange. Similarly, July 2007, gunmen killed three near Peshawar. That was in the aftermath of the last Lal Masjid siege in Musharraf's times. So you can see that some action is building up in that very sensitive region of Pakistan. And while the LOC and the border with India is mostly quiet now, because those are terrorists that Pakistanis control. These are terrorists who've gone out of their control. So remember, there are two quotes that I will remind you of, spoken by two former secretaries of state in America. One was Hillary Clinton, whose line is key today, who said, "You can't rear snakes in your house thinking that snakes in my front yard will harm my neighbor, but snakes in my backyard will not harm me." So these are snakes in Pakistan's strategic backyard that Pakistanis have reared, because when they started supporting the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, then they unleashed these ultra-fundamentalist groups who then live by their own version of their religion and then also know how to enforce the law which they want people to follow. So that is what is happening there. So Pakistan is now paying the price for it. The other quote, of course, was Madeleine Albright, who said that Pakistan has become a global migraine. At this point, frankly, Pakistan's facing a bit of that migraine itself, because from Afghanistan, there's been a backblast. Refugees are coming in, bodies are coming in. And Afghan government is now putting out videos of bodies of Taliban fighters who've been killed in Afghanistan, bodies being handed over in Pakistan to people in Pakistan. And many of them in their processions, funeral processions, have been carrying flags of Pakistan. So it's embarrassing for Pakistan, because it's one thing to say that, oh, we defeated Soviet Union, we defeated America also. But do the Pakistanis have it in their guts now to control Afghanistan? Because unless they control Afghanistan, this region will continue to be unstable. So if you ask me what's happened with Pakistan, it's a bit like when you go to a tourist trap, you like a t-shirt or you like some souvenir and you say, "How much is this worth?" And the person says $30. You say, no $30, I will give you $10. And the guy says, "Take it." Then what do you do? That's precisely what's happening with Pakistan, with the Afghan situation right now. What they asked for, a departure of Americans, a victory of Taliban, is what they've got. And now they've also got to deal with the consequences of this on their own very sensitive, sparsely populated, poorly connected regions along the Afghan border.